God, our Father in heaven. We marvel, dear Heavenly Father, that thou hast entrusted this thy good and precious word of life unto men. Lord, we pray that our attitude and our desire, Lord, and our perspective would be good and right in thy sight, glorifying thee and lifting up thy name, thanking thee for thy word, and recognizing that we are in need of thy grace. And Father, that thou wouldst give unto us the abundance of humility, Father, as we are in thy presence and as we have thy word, thy precious word, before us. And so we just pray that thou wouldst abide with us in this evening, for we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Evening, let's read together Romans chapter 3. Hath the Jew, or what profit? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and thou mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do good, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. And with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. May God, the Bible says of itself that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so as we open God's word, we know that these things are true, and we know that all who have written and penned this word of God that we have before us this evening were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so we are thankful for that. and knowing that it is God's word itself, and it's inspired by the inspiration of God. The Apostle Peter says of the Apostle Paul's writing that he writes some things that are hard to be understood. And this evening we read here Romans chapter 3, and perhaps there's some things, especially in the beginning part of this chapter, that are hard to be understood. But when we look at God's word and understand that it is in entirety inspired by God, and see the word of God in all of its meaning and truth, that we see that God is good and he is faithful. And as we look at this word, we can understand and see what it is that the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing here to those who were in Rome, and specifically those who were Jews at this time. So he writes here, what advantage is there of a Jew, and what is the profit of the circumcision of those who would be Jews? And he says, much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed unto them the oracles of God. The word of God was given to the children of Israel specifically. It wasn't given to the Jebusites and the Hivites and all those other nations that were around about Israel. It was given to them specifically. And what a blessing that was, that they could come to know what it is that the one true God would have them to know. And they were very clearly instructed by God that if you follow these principles and these precepts that I'm laying out for you, you will have blessings in your life, and they will be rich blessings. But if you forsake these commandments and are disobedient, you will have cursings in your life, and you will be as those other nations that are around about you. And so unto them were committed the oracles of God. And I often just think that most of us here were raised in church, and unto us was committed the oracles of God, the word of God, and that we come to know the word of God in truth from a very young age, from when we were even toddlers and learning our first song, perhaps Jesus Loves Me. And so unto us was also committed the word of God, and we are most blessed. But likewise, as it was for the children of Israel, it is for us that if we obey God's word and follow his word, the full word of God, the complete inspired word of God, that there will be blessings in our lives. But if we are disobedient and discard the word of God and are rebellious, then we can't expect God's blessing in our lives. So the word of God was given to the Jews, and they accepted it, and they lived it, and they passed it down from one generation to another generation. But it was at the apostles' time where then the word of God was taken and brought forth to all nations. And we are the recipients of that. For what if some of them did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? So if there was a Jew, here the Apostle Paul is laying the case, that if there's a Jew that does not believe, does that make the faith of God without effect? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And that certainly cannot be true. The Bible says that if we believe not, yet God abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. The responsibility to believe falls on us, but if we do not believe, yet God will abide faithful. He will not deny himself. He cannot deny himself. He is truth, and he abides forever. And so it cannot be that the unbelief of a Jew would make the faith of God without effect. And so he says here, God forbid. Let God be true, but every man a liar. And then he lays out here further in this chapter, as he did in the previous chapter of chapter 2, the universality of guilt. It's there for all. We all have that guilt in our lives. He says, what then? Are we better than they that would not believe? And he says, no, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. It becomes clear in the word of God that all are under sin, both Jew and Gentile. He continues on here and he says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Both Jew and Gentile. The Jews held themselves very highly and looked down on the Gentiles. But the fact was that there is none righteous, no, not one. And there is none that doeth good, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. There is none that understandeth. And there is none that seek after God. This is man. The sin is universal for all mankind. And so he continues on down here, jumping all the way down to verse number 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So what the law did for the children of Israel was it taught them what was good and right in God's sight, and it showed them that when they committed a sin, that it was a transgression to them. And by that transgression, there was death. It gave them this knowledge of sin. That's what the law did. It gave them this knowledge of sin. Now they were held liable because they knew that they had sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God had a great plan. And it wasn't that in the Old Testament that didn't work out, so God came up with something different. No, it was from the beginning of time that God had laid out that his Son would come here upon this earth. And so it says here in verse number 21, but now there was sin. All have come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. But now the righteousness of God without that law is manifest. That is now being made known. The righteousness of God that is without the law, that is now no longer part of that Mosaic law that God had given to the children of Israel. This righteousness of God is being manifested now, and it was being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets were speaking of this righteousness of God that would come through faith in Jesus Christ. And so throughout these first chapters of Romans, he's laying out that case. The law was the knowledge of sin. That was what was given, that we would know that we are in sin and that all have fallen short and come short of the glory of God. And saying, but now the righteousness of God without the law is being made manifest. It's here. Just as John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ has come, and now everything changed. Now it was through the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. This is the righteousness of God. And it's been made manifest that those who would have faith in Jesus Christ would be justified and that they would have the righteousness of God. It comes by faith in Jesus Christ. And so this is being here spoken of, and this is the truth. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Such a beautiful verse, and this gives us such comfort and such joy that we are justified freely. It's freely given to us by grace. Justification, just as if we'd never sinned, it's given to us by our faith in Jesus Christ. Where is boasting then? How shall we boast if we are in faith? When we believe that Jesus Christ was in fact the Son of God and that he died for our sins, where is boasting? There is no boasting that we can have of our own. There is no self-righteousness that we can come up with or even through any other man. We're familiar with the verses in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We have been given this grace freely, and we are saved by grace through faith. such a blessed and true truth that the Word of God, the Scripture that has been inspired by the Holy Spirit, by the inspiration of God, that has been given unto us, that we are saved by grace through faith. And so in verse number 28 here, he says, "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law," without the deeds of that Mosaic law that was given unto the children of Israel. We conclude, this is the conclusion of it. A man is justified, a person is justified by faith, a faith that is in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And we rejoice in this truth. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the circumcision of the uncircumcision through faith. There was two classes of people before. There was the Jew and there was the Gentile. That was the classifications. And now, here in this verse, we read here that there's just one God, and he will justify the circumcision and the uncircumcision, which means the Jew and the Gentile, through faith. And so now there are, again, two classes of people, but now it's those who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who do not. There are believers and there are unbelievers. And so those are the two classes of people that God sees today. We read in his word that there is one God, but one God. And there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter whether we are free or bond, Jew or Gentile, male or female, it's whether we are a believer in Jesus Christ or whether we are not. These are the classifications that God sees today. And so he says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. No, we establish the law. And Jesus Christ said that of himself too, that think not that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill what God had given him to fulfill. And so through faith, we establish the law. Through faith, we receive this righteousness of God and this justification that he gives. So what is faith? We are redeemed, we are justified, and we have the righteousness of God when we have faith in Jesus Christ. What does that faith look like? The Apostle Paul speaks of Abraham and says, but Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. As Abraham believed God, it was given unto him then that he would be declared a righteous man. And he was not weak in faith, but he considered not his own body dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And so this is what faith looks like, being lived out. He believed in God, even though the odds were impossible, even though it didn't make sense of what God had promised to Abraham, he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The righteousness of God was given and imputed unto Abraham because he believed in God when he shouldn't have believed in God, when logic said that that's impossible. And so the righteousness of God was given unto Abraham. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 11 of all those men who believed God, who through faith did great things. And righteousness, the righteousness of God was given to them. The Jews missed it. The Jews were forsaking the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness. And they did it not according to knowledge. They didn't know. even though they should have known. And so in these first few chapters, we read of how the Apostle Paul is building the case that we are justified by faith and not by deeds of the law. And that with Jesus Christ, now the righteousness of God is without the law, and it's being manifest, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, the scripture says, Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. If a Jew is trying to justify themselves through the law, they are fallen from grace. But the Bible says, but by grace ye are saved through faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Love needs to be the engine, the driving force of our faith. And so as we consider this scripture, we want to ask, what then does faith look like? If we are justified by our faith, what does faith look like? Well, we read here that faith works by love. And in these first few chapters of Romans, he's building the case that we are justified by our faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he speaks of all these things, and then he gets to chapter 12, and he says, this is what faith looks like being lived out. This is what a surrendered life to God looks like. And he speaks here of all these things, and these are not works of the law. The works of the law were unique. They were about what you could eat and what you could wear. And one thing that always stood out to me was that the Jews were not allowed to wear linen and wool together. You could wear wool, but you were not allowed to wear linen and wool together. That's what the Mosaic law said. But now it's by faith in Jesus Christ that we receive the righteousness of God. And so here it is. In chapter 12, here's what a life of faith in Jesus Christ looks like. This is what it is in practicality. Being kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. This is being driven by the Holy Spirit. This is faith being lived out. Being affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. Not thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Abraham served the Lord. Moses served the Lord. And all those that are written there in Hebrews chapter 11, they served the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. This is faith being lived out. Rejoicing. Rejoicing in this hope that we have. That unto us is going to be administered an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of God. It's reserved in heaven for us. And no man can take it away. And so we rejoice in this hope. And we exhibit that fruit of the Spirit of joy in this hope that we have. This is faith being lived out. And this is then the righteousness of God that's being imputed unto us. And we are justified before God. Patient in tribulation. Not giving up, not saying this is too hard, not walking away, but patient in tribulation and continuing instant in prayer. We've been reading a lot in the scriptures together about praying always. Praying always. And here again it's saying continuing instant in prayer. Is there a tribulation? Is there a sorrow? Is there a hope that's We would like to see it a little sooner. We are to be instant in prayer and turning to Him at all times, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. This is what a life of faith looks like. This is it lived out in practicality. And again, when we live out our faith, as James says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. But this is not works of the law, but this is a work of faith. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. This is what a life of faith in Jesus Christ looks like as it is lived out. And then, again, then we are justified before God, and then we are have his righteousness placed upon us and not our own righteousness or another man's righteousness. And so we rejoice with this verse number 21 that we read here in Romans chapter 3, where it says, But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's being declared. This is the righteousness of God. This is its declaration. It's without the law. And it is now by faith in Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. There is a difference between him who believes in Jesus Christ and lives a surrendered life unto him and the one who will not, but who will walk his own way and who will not exhibit works of faith as it is laid out here in Scripture. Thank God for his goodness toward us, for the gift of his Son, for all that he has done for us. We came to him in our filth, and he came and he gave unto us his cleansing. We came unto him guilty, standing him before him guilty, and he gave unto us redemption. Think of those times when you've done something wrong and you got caught. You're guilty. But he gives unto us redemption. As we stood before him in faith, he gives unto us redemption. We came to him in our sin, all the ugliness of sin, and he gave unto us the righteousness of God, the robe of righteousness, impurity, no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle, a pure robe of righteousness he placed upon our shoulders and gave that unto us. Because we believe in him and we live a surrendered life, all by grace, freely given to us. This is the gift of God. This is what he has done for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son to us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He wants to give us life. That is God's desire. God's desire is that all would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And we can be saved from our sin by living out of faith in our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. May he give us grace each day to do so. Amen.